topic 8.18 is to explain the effects of drugs on synaptic transmissions, including the use of L-DOPA in the treatment of Parkinson's disease and the action of MDMA in ecstasy. So, you know that dopamine cannot cross the blood-brain barrier, so you can't just give people dopamine tablets or dopamine injections. However, L-DOPA, levodopa, is a precursor to many neurotransmitters, including dopamine, adrenaline, and noradrenaline. So this can cross the blood-brain barrier and can be used as a treatment until the dopamine-producing cells die. So the dopamine-producing cells take up levodopa and then process it to form dopamine. Once they're dead, you can't use them. Also, as well as levodopa, we could try dopamine agonists. This activates the dopamine receptors through mimicking dopamine. This in turn activates the dopamine signaling pathways, leading to changes in the gene transcription. And this is often recommended for early Parkinson's disease to increase the amount of transcription of the receptors and other proteins involved in dopamine production. Finally, we could try MAOB inhibitors. So you should remember your monoamine oxidase A, which metabolizes serotonin and noradrenaline. That's from your AS. Remember your warrior gene, topic 3, etc., etc. MAOB, monoamine oxidase B, metabolizes dopamine in the synapses. So if you inhibit MAOB, then it's not going to metabolize dopamine. So more dopamine is going to remain in the synapses, which is a good thing. Okay, so Parkinson's disease, it's the cells that, the neurons that control muscle tremors and so on are destroyed because they produce the neurotransmitter dopamine, and the lack of this causes a decrease in the transmission of these neurotransmitters. That probably didn't make much sense to you. Doesn't make much sense to me either. Let's move on to ecstasy, or 3,4-methyl-N-dioxy-N-methylamphetamine. You can see why we call it MDMA for short. Blocks the serotonin reuptake system. So where normally serotonin is released, as with acetylcholine, into the synapse and then taken up again and then recycled, the serotonin reuptake system is blocked, so serotonin remains in the synaptic cleft for longer. There's also a suggestion that it may make the reuptake proteins work in reverse, which means we actually get the synaptic cleft being flooded with serotonin. So this is, you know, loads of neurotransmitter. The symptoms of this include, as well as elevated mood, greatly elevated mood, increased heart rate, hyperthermia, and increase in ADH levels. Now, ADH is antidiuretic hormone. You haven't really done much about this on the EdExcel syllabus, but antidiuretic hormone prevents water loss. So you will not lose much water in your urine. This means that more water stays in your body. You may have been aware of one of the most prominent cases of someone who's taken ecstasy in the past 20 years or so. And this is a teenager or woman in her early 20s called Leah Betts, who died in 1995 after taking ecstasy. The press reported that she had been poisoned by ecstasy. However, over the course of the evening, she drank 7 litres of water, which is enough even if your kidneys are filtering properly. Effectively, she ended up with hyponatremia, diluted her ions, and that was really what killed her, unfortunately.